Well, it was just great working with you folks, and I enjoy the weekly meetings with the president, and just talking about the issues that had come up and the worries the president had, and talked about ways of moving forward. I tried to come up with helpful ideas.
But sure did.
The formal every year, it was just such a wonderful, spirited event. I used to really enjoy those formals.
I hear this year the Master's office gave $10,000 in donation to help fund the 50th, which is $5,000 more than we got for 45th, which is my year.
Yeah.
So Sajith was telling me. So they're having it at Paramount on the 22nd, in case you guys didn't book it.
Oh, nice.
Oh, the
formal? The 50th, yeah.
Wait, the 50th or the formal?
The formal.
Is it?
Is it the same year?
Same.
Sorry, I'm gonna say yes, right?
The fifth, is it the same day now? Are they merging the two of them together? Or
apparently.
That's what they're doing. Yeah.
The 50th and the formal are gonna be the same.
I believe so.
So it's gonna be open to more people, I guess.
I believe so. That's what Tajit was saying to me today.
That'll be amazing.
March 22nd. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be good to have like a bunch of alumni.
Yeah, I remember like there was one year where we had like two or three tables of professors, and then we had like dozens of tables of students.
Yep.
And I think the professors were partying harder than the students were.
And I think Susan Dimmick parties the hardest though.
Yeah, she did.
She is awesome.
Yeah.
With that. Yeah.
I was like, that's my master, right there, the one who's partying up at the top there.
Yeah. Her speech was funny, right?
Her speech was great. Because she loved bringing you up to the stage. She's like, and David, where should I begin? I remember those words. And she just...
Yeah.
She may have had too much Moscato, but, you know, she definitely was having a good time.
Yeah, we had a wild group of professors, which was fun. It's great to see another side of the professors.
Because
normally, you know, they're very formal and stuff. But,
yeah.
You know, getting them on a personal, like, basis, first name basis, and just kind of cracking jokes.
Yeah, I agree.
I used to really enjoy the ski trips.
Yeah, we brought it back for 1 year at Horseshoe Valley Ski.
I actually never went to
but
one.
not to Barrie, but we never got to experience it.
No, I don't think that.
We brought it back that 1 year in 2012 with Winchurch. We merged.
Yeah, you said that. Yeah.
At Horseshoe. So yeah, ski trips.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Well, one of the formals was the Golden Globes, and one of the guys had made
statue. Oh, that was a great
statue. Tried to make a statue.
Like a mummy statue.
Like a mummy statue, like one of the Golden Globe guys. Except it looked like a mummy as opposed to the Golden Globe. And it was like bent over and stuff, and it was falling, and it was hilarious. People are wondering, what's that body on the floor? No, don't worry, it's one of the props.
Oh, man.
I think we tried to make it like the day before too. It's just ridiculous. But
we had troubles.
I remember he wanted some help, and I was like, I'm not getting my hands dirty. Yeah. Good luck, man.
I think he wanted to make a cast out of somebody, and then they're like,
no, they used Jeff, like shoot Chuck. They put him as a body. He's a tall guy, if I'm not mistaken.
And they did like papier mâché, you know? Like,
yeah, they did all over him. I don't know, something along those lines. Wow. Yeah, and then we had it at the former church, the Berkeley, the following year.
That was Mike's year.
Yep, and then we had it at Le Jardin, and then we had it at, I remember all these because I was a part of all of them, but the one here by Woodbridge, Universal, I think. And the final one again we had was at Le Jardin again.
What did you do in your fifth year? Were you on council in the fifth year?
No. So I was a peer mentor.
Oh, peer mentor.
I gave my time like after I finished presidency. I still wanted to be involved in some meaningful way. Mm-hmm. Bruce Martin actually needed some assistance with the peer mentorship program because he wanted to revitalize the mall and the whole academic lifeline and do some more outreach work.
Yeah.
And so what a wonderful opportunity to still give back and make it more meaningful, and I wanted to cater my time more to the first years more, going on my fifth year now.
Yeah.
So I had a group of 12 students, and basically I helped them with their essays and both the social, academical, you know, aspect of life. But that was probably the perfect way to end the journey, you know, like full circle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there was no title attached to it, and I was happy with that. It was very low-key, it was very incognito, intimate, but still incognito.
But it wasn't like a cut dry from college life, right?
I wasn't a face around anymore. I was more like the back end.
Which is nice, yeah. I think the year after presidency, I was I started working as a leadership assistant for the university. Nice. But then it was
and you were speaker.
You came back for your for your council, which was great because speaker you're kind of separated. You come in for the meetings and you provide some advice. It was a good role for me to transition out.
Very nonpartisan too.
Yeah, I hope I didn't like. I don't think I.
No, it was great.
I didn't meddle. I don't think.
Yeah, David was always there for advice, but he didn't have to worry about like all the politics or drama or anything that was going on at the time.
Yeah.
And then my last year, I did. Finished some more courses, and then I went to the University of Amsterdam for a semester abroad.
Oh, yeah.
So it was nice that we all kind of did like something fun before we graduated. Yeah. We all had our own different things that we did. So
after council, I was like, oh, what do I do with my life?
Hey, me too.
Yeah, because because
it's also naked and vulnerable.
Yeah, because Surat wanted me to do. I mean, Surat and I told him I wanted to do law school. When throughout my tenure as president, I switched into mediation.
Mm-hmm.
So then I applied for the continuing ed postgrad mediation program, which is what I did when I was a speaker. So I was doing my full-time studies in the leadership assistant and the mediation program. But that's when I discovered student affairs as a profession.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened. Yeah.
He came to the SCR and said, hey, I'm not doing law school anymore. And I was like, what? What do you mean? And then, like he's just explained right now, but all these great reasons too.
So we're happy that Surat's still continuing in the law.
Yes, one step at a time here. I actually just submitted my applications last week. So, and I have to say, Ian has been in my corner, Mike, you too. But Ian, his advice about the LSAT, because I've constantly been working at it, the same words he said to me 2 years ago, like, give it the respect it deserves, but have fun in the process.
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way because I let the stress get to me right away. But I'm making my strides, and I still remember those words from you, and I use that. I use that as my concept of purpose.
That's so speaking of the law, there was one year when during the Montreal trip, that one of our McLaughlin students got arrested.
Oh yeah.
I was hoping you wouldn't bring this up, Ian.
Wasn't you that got arrested?
No,
it wasn't us. That wasn't us. But I do remember.
I know exactly what the story is.
I remember leaving the club, and we were all kind of all over the place, and then we got into the lobby. And there was a cop car outside with one of our students in it.
Yeah.
And then there was two other guys inside, like, pinned to the floor by security or police.
Was that your year as president?
No, it wasn't my year.
That was his outgoing year.
Oh. Yeah, I was
VP Social that year. And
what was your event?
It was my event, yeah.
So yeah. It's not your fault.
The case is resolved. There was a bail hearing, and there were no charges laid on the individuals.
Yeah. So, was it a fight or something?
Oh, so Ivan was the president.
Ivan was the president, yeah.
Because I remember, he came into my office and he had to tell me this and he felt so bad.
Yeah. I just remember walking in like, I wonder what he did.
It was, there were two sides.
I'm going to say
Based on the court's hearing, everything is cleared now and there's no worries. So,
yeah.
A little bit of abuse of power from one end and uncertainty from the other end. So, but yes, that happened. Surprisingly. You didn't think it would get any worse, but we're praying it didn't get any worse than that. But Montreal. Yeah,
we were lucky. I mean, the student body did some pretty,
proactive,
crazy things, but people were safe, generally.
Yeah.
Like one time, there was a whole drinking party in Dynamax, the gym. Right?
Really?
Yeah.
In Dynamax,
the whole party.
That's an interesting way to use that space, on the elliptical.
But people took care of the space and then left, and it was spotless.
Spotless?
And then, I was like, okay, good.
Same with we're talking about this on that note, same with the sauna and
the sauna.
Change rooms. Saw some interesting characters experimenting with interesting things.
Yeah.
I said that does not smell like sauna smoke at all to me.
Yeah,
I was robbed once there, but not personally. Like, I just, my locker was robbed.
I don't know if this is a funny story, but it's a story worth mentioning.
I was so angry.
There was a meeting, and David. No, David's never late to a meeting. So if he's late to a meeting, something must have happened. So we're in the master's boardroom. Mike's getting a little impatient to start, but he's like, I'm sure David will be here any moment.
Because I was a speaker, right?
And 20 minutes pass, and David finally runs in. And he's a little lost of breath, and he's like, quickly asking for numbers, like security numbers, and giving us updates. And we're like, we still don't know what happened, but he's just giving us all this preamble about I did this, I called security, they're on their way. Or something. So what happened? Oh, I got robbed. Like, just casually, like, my locker. Yeah, my locker just someone took. What was it? It was.
Tokens, money.
Yeah, so the list goes on. And everyone finally, like, are you serious? And, like, everyone's just getting.
The thing is, like, nothing happened like that before, but there was, like, this series of thefts at the gym.
Yes.
For that one period. This is my 5th year, so I had done 5 years at McLaughlin, super safe, you know? And it's not that McLaughlin's unsafe, it's just that certain characters found a safe space for them to operate and steal stuff from people.
And I remember, like, didn't like we all get up and like, all right, let's go check downstairs?
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, we did. Yeah, we did. Yeah. Everybody.
And Yvonne, too.
Yeah, we all were like, let's go right now. Like, there's no point. We should just wait until security gets here. But that actually, like, started brewing something really important to my presidency.
Talk about this, yes.
And actually, I got some good news about it today. I'm not sure if you know, but I made a CCTV proposal in my presidency for having cameras in Dynamax.
Yep.
A very dear friend of mine actually passed away in Dynamax. His name was Angelo Trolio. He was a plumber on campus. And Angelo and I spent years in Dynamax, you know, working out, but also he was a longtime friend. Unfortunately, he passed from a cardiac arrest. And he could have been saved if there was a defibrillator on site, but there wasn't any. But more importantly, he really believed in that space being a student space. And he was, though he was older, he was in his 40s, he was one of us. He was like a brother to all of us, a father figure, a brother, a friend, and shared some really powerful stories in there. Because he knew there was so much theft happening in Dynamax, and I would come in the gym getting really stressed out, he's like, "Sir, I have a solution." He offered to put in fake cameras on the top to help out the deterrent. And though at the time I said that's probably not a good idea, if it helps for now, temporarily, we should possibly try it. Like, I spoke to David as well about this. He didn't seem to be, you know, too much against it. So we actually left those deterrents in the gym. Unfortunately, however, the theft still kept happening and whatnot. So what I did was, while that was still somewhat static, I created a proposal for Dragon and York University Security. And the proposal was passed, and it was approved at the end of my presidency. So April 30th, I got an email saying that this is approved.
What year again?
To 2014.
Okay.
So May 1st, my term was ending. Mm-hmm. So the keys were being given to my successor, and the proposal too. So my hope was they would continue on with it. Unfortunately, because of the lack of, I guess, vision for that and the importance for that, also the cost of infrastructure was very high. They quoted us at $1,500. It was sort of put the back burner. So I never really heard anything back from it. And then I finally graduated that same year in 2015. And today I spoke to the president, and he actually came up to me. He's like, "You'll be happy to know we got the CCTV proposal approval, but more importantly, we got actual cameras in Dynamax with the defibrillator, and we have this technology booming like crazy." The Dynamax manager, his name is Matthew Thompson. He used to work for your security, or he still does. He has all access on the cameras right to his phone. So he manages it like it was supposed to be managed 3 years ago. That was the vision. So finally now, like, they've invested about $500 in equipment for the students. That's new machines, upholstery, whatever. They finally have a system there where York University is cooperating to allow them to facilitate the space, but you're finally catching the bad guys. I found the dumbbells that we bought specifically on Amazon at Tate McKenzie one night. Just someone actually took it from Dynamax to Tate.
What?
Yeah. So my point is, you could never catch these guys. And the whole purpose of having these cameras in there was for the sake of safety, but more so security. But because of the cost and the bureaucracies and the red tape, which we all know so well, that process took 6 months. And as a culmination of after 3 years, we can finally say, you know, there are cameras in Dynamax.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. Just an FYI for you as well. Yeah.
It's huge.
What other questions you got for us again?
Oh, just another memory I have is the contested election.
Oh. Yes. Which one?
Sorry?
Contested presidential election.
Oh.
With you and...
You know, I may have not even been president if it hadn't been for the rules. Like, if we broke the rules, then I wouldn't have been president today.
Remind...
So, they were passing around laptops.
Oh, yeah.
And I had such dedicated people in the community who, like, I guess, you know, there's integrity all over campus. They would send me pictures of certain people going for the opposing candidate, going around with laptops, saying, "This guy is walking around getting your candidate's
votes." Didn't even know what they were voting for.
Yeah, they it was the wall-to-wall laptop effect. But I guess to echo that point, I think having you there bringing in the constitutional voice of reason, but also
the
like
master can get involved.
He had to, yeah.
Yeah.
He had to. I was hoping he didn't have to, but
no,
he,
but that's cool.
But I, he was already so like loaded with everything else. It's the last thing I wanted him to worry about. But he had to. He had to step in. There's actually a written document about. It's a beautiful document. I read this every day. Okay.
What, he wrote the document.
He wrote. What's the actual term that you wrote? It was a
decision.
But it was also like a.
You adjudicated.
Pretty much. He made the decision to have a re-election, but it was the beauty in the way he wrote this letter and like the faults and the aspect of like forgiving the opposing side.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
And like giving them a chance as well to have a clean and fair race.
What a legend.
I think that was ultimately it. So you had one side.
The student council was deadlocked at 3-3, and they said nobody would budge in terms of how to move forward. So the Supreme Court of Canada had just made a decision.
Oh, this is epic.
From the 2011 election, there was a very close contest between Jivnesky and Wilkins in Etobicoke. And first of all, it looked like Opitz had won the election, but Jivnesky asked for a recount, and there was a judicial recount, and Jivnesky won. So Opitz appealed that, and after a judicial recount, you go straight to the Supreme Court of Canada.
Wow, it really happens. I mean, really, it was that fast.
So the Supreme Court did a recount, and they had Opitz win by 6 votes. I think it was six votes. But they had to decide. There are a number of ballots. Which ballot should we count? What the Supreme Court decided in the end is what is the most important thing is to, if people think they voted properly, we have to respect that. We cannot disqualify votes because one of the returning officers forgot to sign the slip. If it looks like it was a real ballot, you have to count it.
It's relevant whether they like.
So I applied that principle to this election, and I said, well, on balance, it looks like one candidate was far ahead of the other in popularity, and we have to go with a popular opinion. So anyway, that's how it was.
Wait, so who was ahead? Were you?
Sure.
I guess I was ahead then.
Yep.
Holy smokes, I'm learning that for the first time.
If you were ahead, how did they win?
So even though I was ahead, we still ordered a re-election. So he's saying in the initial round I still won.
Oh.
But there was a re-election though.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And here's the kicker. This is like the stars are aligned perfectly. The total number of votes that came in the second round for me was 1-4-3.
Yeah. Oh,
that's our office number, like our room number.
Nice.
It couldn't be more perfect.
Yeah.
But what I gathered most from it was an opportunity to meet the candidate who ran against me, to meet him halfway, and I hired him back as my co-chair.
Yeah, that was great.
And I think that was, for me, that was a moment of clarity that like there is peace here.
Yeah.
You know, and we can work together.
I'm pleased about that.
So, Jason.
Oh,
that's
like
that's okay. Yeah, we can say his name. It's
That's like Abraham Lincoln and his team of rivals, right? He used to have.
Yeah, Jason Howland was my opposing candidate, and it's funny. I actually brought Jason on council in my first year.
Yes, you did.
To be part of McLaughlin College, but you know, it's the beauty of the competition in politics, right? Like, you just need to play a fair game, and may the best man or woman or person win. And that for me was, I was ready to not win. I was mentally ready to, you know, if the community decided to vote him in, that's why I think for me. Like, ultimately it was like I left it with the community. I knew what I would bring to the table, and I knew if I was elected I would still offer him to come back in some way, shape or form, even though at the time there was a little bit of animosity between me and his friends. And there was some campaign videos that actually, like, we made a campaign video together. They made a knockoff version mimicking each of us, which is kind of, what's the word, like, distasteful.
Yeah.
You know? And those were people who were considered respectable leaders in our community. I looked up to them for some points, up until that day, of course. But my point was, it was all. Looking back, it's a great learning lesson to see how ugly things can get, but how important it is to still lead with integrity.
Yep.
You know, no matter what.
And actually, yeah, Surratt, you really did lead with integrity the whole way through. You always had the difficult conversations, very honest. That was always
almost too many.
Almost too many. Like no, yeah. You dealt with a lot of conflict, but you stuck to your values. Mm-hmm. Like he's consistent.
Yeah, I could have. I think retiring in my chambers with Ian really humbled me.
Like,
man. Like sitting with Ian, just looking at the bigger picture, and like you guys too. I had to come back to my roots to really know how to. Because at times you feel lost. Like at the end of the day, it's just a student council role. It's a service position. But when you're so passionate about something, it takes over you, and it plays with you emotionally.
Yeah, it does.
It hurts you. And there were times when I was hurt, but I realized very quickly that this is for the ultimate role is you're gonna go back to the community. You know, like it's for the people, it's for the community. And I'm glad I learned that powerful lesson very early in the game. For the future, of course.
And if you're doing the revote, at the end of the day, people are gonna still vote for the people that they wanted to win anyway.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
The numbers aren't gonna lie.
They're not gonna lie, no. And the proportions were huge in the second round. Like then the honest numbers came in and it was like
defeated.
Very much so. But that's when I said, let's meet halfway, let's work together. He became my O-chair. The same guy who ran around
with
the laptops, he became my co-chair.
That's really good of you.
And we just, the most gratifying thing was when we all sat across the table one night, planning Frosh Week, making these kits back and forth, we all just stopped. And we all just stare at each other, and we're like, we're working as a team.
See, that's
all we need.
That's powerful. See, wouldn't Machiavelli's book have advised you otherwise? is that right?
Yeah.
From what I remember from that book.
Absolutely.
But it's good. No, you did it right.
I'm just really thankful to have you there, like during that time.
Collaborative leadership all the way.
Yeah. Having your experience there.
It's like Obama and Clinton working together after like a sour.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
That's a very good point. That's a really cool point. I'll be Obama though.
So anyway, I've got lots of stuff to put into the book mail from you guys. Any final thoughts?
I think I'm just happy to see the community still flourishing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's already been 50 years and college has progressed so much and it continues to progress.
Yeah.
The challenges will arise, but, I mean, it seems like there's always new student leaders to address the challenge. So
isn't that encouraging?
It is encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's the culmination of the last 5-6 years, almost a decade with these two involved. So in that time, though it feels like it's been longer, I just feel like I truly believe that you know, a ripple effect is being created. Something that we started will hopefully continue, and we can look back and look 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, and still share common themes and still meet at the dinner table and have these amazing stories. And that's the biggest takeaway for me. No matter where we are in our lives 5-10 years later, the stories will forever remain.
Yep.
And that's my takeaway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just really grateful for having the opportunity to kind of chat about this with everybody here. And like, you know, McLaughlin has given so much to me, and we've it's really cool to see that, you know, you're taking this on to Master Grade to create a book, you know, out of it. So I'm very excited to see it, and thank you for including us in that.
Well, thank you for coming. Yeah, it's just a pleasure talking to you. It brings back all kinds of wonderful memories.
Wow.
Three cheers for Ian. Hip hip.
Hooray.
Hip hip.
Hooray.
Hip hip.
Hooray.
That's great. Well, we're going to have fun at the...